Hey, good morning, church. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We want to continue to hear from God. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, and then we're going to look at John chapter 9, verses 1 to 14. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Okay, the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 14. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned that this man or his parents that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Well, this morning's title, message, is a Sabbath work for the people of God in Christ. Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning! It is indeed a good morning because Jesus is indeed merciful. Last week we talked about the Sabbath in the Old Testament because we are doing a series through the book of Genesis, and we arrived at the seventh day when God had completed the work of creation in the 6 days that he had done, and on the seventh day he rested. And as he rested, he instituted a special day for his people called the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day was about God's provision. On that day, no one would do any work to serve themselves, but instead would be served by God himself. He would provide everything they needed in his mercy. And if you haven't heard the message from last week, I encourage you to go back onto the audio archive or the live stream and listen to that. And we looked at how the Jews followed the Sabbath, what the punishment was for not following the Sabbath, what it meant in their hearts. They had evil in their hearts if they violated the Sabbath because they did not want to do what pleased God by allowing him to provide for them in his mercy. So this week we arrive at the New Testament to look at what happened with the Sabbath when Jesus, who is God, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, He arrived. And at the end of the sermon last week, we talked about what should we as Christians do with the Sabbath law. And the answer I gave was, I believe we should do what Jesus did with it. We should look at how did Jesus handle the Sabbath, what did he do on the Sabbath, and how can we emulate him and follow him in how he lived out the Sabbath day as part of the Jews. We're going to see that the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the leaders of the Jews at the time, they had it wrong. They believed that the Sabbath day was a day in which you were to do nothing at all. You were to just simply sit around, maybe listen to some teaching, but never do any work for any reason at all, because they said, well, God forbade work. But Jesus does a different sort of work on the Sabbath day, and they hated him for it. So let us see what Jesus did. Let me pray and let's start. Dear Lord, Father, you provide for us every day, Father. And the law, the Sabbath law, was to be a day when we rested in your provision for us, Father. But when we rest in your provision, Father, do we cease to have love and mercy for others, Father? And Jesus taught and did the answer. He said no, Father, that the Sabbath day and every day was a day to love others, to love you, Father, to show mercy on others and provide for them in Christ, Father. So let us see this from the scripture, Father, what the meaning of the Sabbath day was for Jesus, and certainly for Jesus means for you, Father. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll start in Matthew 22:34-30. As always, on your scripture sheet, everything is laid out. You can read along with me. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. This word test means they wanted to trap him. They wanted to discredit him. They said to Jesus, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets." The law and the prophets referring to the entire Old Testament. Point number one. Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment from the Old Testament law was. Trying to discredit Jesus, the Pharisees wanted to trap him into contradicting God's law, because they thought he did contradict God's law, and they wanted to prove it. Jesus taught that the true intent the true meaning of all God's law was to love the Father perfectly and to love our neighbors the way we do ourselves. The entire Old Testament law is dependent on obedience to these two commands. Thus, the purpose or true intent of God's Sabbath rest as part of that law is to love God and love our neighbor. This is what we can conclude from when Jesus said that the purpose or intent of every law in the Old Testament is to love God and love our neighbor. So the purpose of the Sabbath law, as part of that, is also to love God and love our neighbor. So what did Jesus, how did he live that out? Matthew 12, verses 1 through 6, talks about this. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath day. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to Jesus, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did, King David, when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests." This bread of the presence, belongs specifically to God, and God provided it to the priests specifically. But King David came into the temple with his men, and they were hungry, and they ate this bread that God had provided to the priests. And according to the law, they were breaking God's law, at least legalistically, technically, they were breaking God's law. And then Jesus says, "Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane or break the Sabbath and are guiltless?" So there's these priests in the temple. They're making sacrifices to God in the temple and making the sacrifices according to the way that the Pharisees understood the law. Making the sacrifices would be to break the Sabbath. But God is providing these sacrifices through the priests for his people, for atonement. Jesus says, "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here." Point number two. On the Sabbath day, Jesus' disciples were hungry and traveling through some fields. Jesus told them to gather grain so that they could eat. The Pharisees accused them of breaking the Sabbath law, which was punishable by death, as we learned last week. Jesus pointed them to two scriptures. In one, King David in the temple had eaten the bread that belonged to God, which was forbidden in his law. But God had provided the bread without any sin or guilt. In the second, the priests, during the Sabbath day, will do work in the temple as they make sacrifices to God for sin. God, who provides forgiveness to the people, allows the priests to work on the Sabbath day without guilt. These actions are done in the temple through the provision of God. Jesus then says something extraordinary. Something greater than the temple was there with them, his disciples, and the Pharisees. But nothing can be greater than the temple. They would have taught that. The temple is the dwelling place of God. Nothing is greater than that. But Jesus is saying that he is greater than the temple because he is himself God. This would have shocked the Pharisees. Matthew 12, 7 through 8 goes on from the same passage. Jesus says, "And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice," which is a quote from Hosea 6, 6 in the Old Testament law. If they had known what that meant, they would not have condemned the guiltless, Jesus says. He says, "For the Son of Man," Jesus being the Son of Man, that was the title he used for himself. He says, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Hosea 6, 6, which he quotes, says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice," God says, "the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Point number three. Jesus told the Pharisees that if they had understood Hosea 6:6, then they would not condemn his disciples for gathering the grain on the Sabbath. God had said that his desire for his people was not just for them to make sacrifices, but to have love for him and for others. God wanted his people to know him in their hearts. God wanted real love in their hearts instead of shallow commandment keeping, which is what the Pharisees did, shallow commandment keeping. Jesus tells them who he is again. He says that the Son of Man, Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. What does that make him as Lord of the Sabbath? He is the Lord of the Sabbath because he is the creator of the universe who rested on the seventh day. Jesus is God in human flesh. And when he commanded his disciples to eat the grain, he was providing for them in his love and mercy as Lord of the Sabbath. Had the Pharisees understood this, then they would not have condemned the disciples. He is God, so he provides. So his provision is not a breaking of the Sabbath. It's the fulfilling of the meaning of the Sabbath for Jesus to provide for his disciples in his mercy. You see, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is God in human flesh. Jesus came to offer his love and mercy to those who would trust in him. This is the gospel. We hear it each week. I tell you each week. But the meaning of the Sabbath is the gospel. You see, we have violated his law. We have broken the Sabbath. We do not always receive his provision. We have his word, yet often we ignore his word. We have his commands for obedience, but often we do not obey his commands for obedience. And because of that, we deserve eternal punishment. We have broken the law of an eternal God, and we must receive an eternal punishment, which ultimately is hell, which is terrifying and sad at the same time. But Jesus comes, and he always obeyed the Sabbath law because he himself is the provider in the Sabbath law. And he also called his disciples to work together with him to provide God's mercy to the world. But he was perfectly righteous every single time. He never violated the Sabbath law in any way. He never violated any of God's laws. He obeyed God's word every time. In fact, he was God's word as he spoke. And by trusting in him, his righteousness becomes our own. And then Jesus, wanting to provide for his people, those who would believe in him, he went to the cross to provide a substitution, to provide a propitiation, to provide a sacrifice so that God could punish the sin of Jesus' people. But Jesus took that punishment in their place, in our place. And by doing that, Jesus provided forgiveness for his people, provided atonement for his people, as he took our sin and we received his righteousness. But not only that, he rose from the dead so that by trusting in his resurrection, we might have the spiritual power through his resurrection to be providers of God's mercy. Day by day, every day, as we celebrate God's provision through a Sabbath rest that encompasses every day of our lives, as we serve others and love them, love God through our actions to love others, and through the work of the Spirit in our hearts, we provide Christ's mercy to the world. That is the gospel, and we should trust in it and believe in it. We should believe in what Christ has done. But we're only in the first two passages so far. There's so much more to show us what Jesus is doing on the Sabbath. Let's move on. Mark 3, 1 through 6, chronologically comes immediately after Jesus declared himself Lord of the Sabbath. It says, "Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they, the Pharisees, watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill? But they were silent. And Jesus looked around at them with anger. Jesus was angry with them. The leaders of the Jewish people at the time. And Jesus was grieved at their hardness of heart. And then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. But what did the Pharisees do? The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy Jesus. Point number four. Immediately after Jesus revealed himself as the Lord of the Sabbath, he entered a synagogue and saw a man with a disabled hand. The Pharisees were watching Jesus to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. Jesus asked the Pharisees if it would break the Sabbath law to do good on the Sabbath by saving someone's life. They refused to answer. Jesus was angry at them and saddened at the hardness of their hearts. They didn't want the man to be healed. The Pharisees were rigid in their external obedience to the Sabbath law, but they had no love for God and no mercy for his people. As Jesus provided for the disabled man with healing on the Sabbath, the Pharisees plotted to destroy him. In Luke 13, we see a different Sabbath day. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And Jesus saw her and had compassion. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Breaking the Sabbath? Well, that's what they were upset about. They said he was breaking the Sabbath law. But the ruler of the synagogue, a Pharisee, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Point number five. Jesus loved to teach in the synagogues on the Sabbath, as was the custom of the Jews. Teaching was not forbidden by the scribes and Pharisees on the Sabbath day. While he was teaching in the synagogue, there entered a woman with a spiritual and physical disability. Jesus immediately laid his hands on her and healed her with a word. She glorified God for his provision, but the Pharisees were angry at Jesus because this healing had been done on the Sabbath day. Same passage, moving on, Luke 13, 15 through 17. Then the Lord Jesus answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it?" They took care of these animals. "And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham," she was a Jew, "whom Satan bound for 18 years, she was sick for 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And as Jesus said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by Jesus. Point number 6. When the Pharisees were angry at Jesus, Jesus called them hypocrites. They provided for their animals on the Sabbath day. They knew how to give mercy to them, but would not provide love and mercy for a disabled woman on the Sabbath day. Upon hearing this wisdom from Jesus, the people rejoiced at the provision of God through his power, but not the Pharisees. They did not rejoice. They called for the death penalty, because that was the penalty for work on the Sabbath, according to the way they understood it. Luke 14, 1 through 6. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. Once again, watching him to see if he's going to break the Sabbath. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy, a sickness. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son," this time, their son, "or an ox, but a son that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Point number 7. On another Sabbath day, Jesus was invited to dine with the Pharisees. Watching Jesus carefully, they sought to condemn him. A man who was sick entered the house, so Jesus posed a question about whether it was lawful to heal this man on the Sabbath. They refused to answer. Jesus then healed the man and asked another question. Would they not save the life of their animal or their son if it had fallen into a well on the Sabbath day? Again, they refused to answer. They knew that providing for the life of their animals would not violate the Sabbath law, but they claimed that the mercy of Jesus was violating the Sabbath law. John 5, 1 through 10. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda. That was the name in the language Aramaic, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. So you know what Jesus is going to do, right? We know at this point. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. He'd lived 38 years of his life unable to do pretty much anything. Just lay there and suffer. When Jesus saw him lying there and Jesus knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going down, another steps before me." He felt that if he could get into the pool, he might be healed, but there was no way that was going to happen. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed after 38 years. And he took up his bed and walked. Now, that day was the Sabbath, right? It's the Sabbath. The Pharisees are going to say, Jesus shouldn't have done that. That was wrong to heal the man, to give him mercy. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." Point number 8. Jesus traveled to Bethesda, a place where there was many disabled people who desired to be healed. Yet many of them were not healed. One man had been suffering for 38 years. Jesus had compassion on this man by providing healing for him with just a word. But the Jews were angered because the man had been healed on the Sabbath day. John 5:11-16 continues this passage. But Jesus answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said it to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Point number 9. The Jews investigated to see who had commanded this man to carry his bed on the Sabbath day, but the man did not know who Jesus was. Then when Jesus found him, he gave him a command to obey God from now on. After this, the man told the Jews that Jesus had healed him on the Sabbath. Jesus said that God the Father had always been working together with him to provide for his people on the Sabbath day. We know that now. That's what Jesus was doing, providing for his people. But the Father had always worked with him to do this. This was the original meaning or intent of the Sabbath, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, the meaning of the Sabbath law. John 7:21-24, Jesus is talking to the Jews about a previous healing he had done on the Sabbath. Jesus answered them, I did one work, and you all marvel at it. Moses gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a whole man's body well? Do not judge by appearances, Jesus says, but judge with right judgment. They circumcised a man a certain number of days after he was born. That was according to the Jewish law. And if it was the Sabbath day when it was time to circumcise him, they would do it because they were obeying the law. And if the boy did not get circumcised, it would be breaking the law. So he's saying, if you are circumcising on the Sabbath, then why would I be wrong for providing healing for someone on the Sabbath? Because the healing is a honoring of the Sabbath law. Point number 10. Later on, the people were hostile to Jesus after seeing Jesus provide healing on the Sabbath day. Jesus reminded them it was their practice to circumcise a man on the Sabbath day without breaking the Sabbath law. Why would they be angry with him for showing mercy to a broken man by healing him on the Sabbath day? He said that judging by appearances alone would not be righteous judgment. It is what is in the heart that shows whether one is honoring the Sabbath law. Last passage, and then our application. John 9, verses 1 through 5. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They wanted to know why he was born this way, lived his entire life as a blind person. Was it his sin or his parents, was their question. Jesus answered, the answer to why, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then Jesus says to his disciples, teaching them, we must work the works of him who sent me, that's the Father, while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Point number 11. Jesus and his disciples met a man who had been blind from birth, never saw in his life. The disciples wanted to know the reason this man had suffered all his life. Was it because of sin? Jesus gave the purpose for the man's suffering. A work of special provision from God would be displayed in his life. Jesus then told them that they must work together with him, doing the Father's works of provision for as long as it was still possible. There would come a time when they were unable to do this work, but that time would not arrive as long as Christ was working in the world. As long as Jesus still worked in the world through his disciples, he would be providing his light to everyone. Last point, end of John 9. Having said these things, Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Jesus didn't need to do this to heal him. Jesus is making a point that he is doing something very big. This is a giant work. The man has been blind since he was born, his entire life. So the blind man went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" They're like, "He was blind." Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." They didn't believe that he could possibly be healed. He kept saying, "I am the man. I am the man." He kept saying it. So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Of course, they had to bring it to the Pharisees. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Point number 12. After commanding his disciples to love God the Father and love their neighbors by continuing their, meaning God the Father's, works of provision, Jesus then performed one of his greatest miracles by healing this man who had been born blind. The man's eyes were able to see for the first time ever in his life. This work of provision by God the Father and Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, was done on the Sabbath day. 5 points of application. Application point number 1. We learned last week that the Sabbath rest is designed so that we can receive God's work of provision through trust in him. That's what we found from the Old Testament. God's command for rest on this day points us to our need for him. If we try to provide for ourselves instead of accepting God's provision, we commit sin on this day. Point number 2, application. When Jesus was born physically as God in human form, the leaders of Israel had twisted the meaning of the Sabbath. God's intent for the Sabbath to be a time of love for God and love of neighbor had been obscured. The result was a harsh, heartless, external mess of hypocritical works that did not honor God. Application point number 3. Jesus taught that the Sabbath belonged to him as the Creator. As God, it was his work to provide for his people on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees and other leaders of Israel rejected this. They hated him. They did not want to provide for others at all with love for God and for their neighbor. Instead, they persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, claiming he had broken Sabbath law by providing mercy to many people in need. Application number 4. Jesus taught his disciples to seek in obedience to emulate the provision of their Lord Jesus by continuing his work of love and mercy on the Sabbath and every day. This is what he always taught Christians. The true meaning of the Sabbath is to lay down our lives in service to others, using the provision of God for us to turn around and provide for others in need. The Sabbath rest is not honored by doing no work, nothing at all, but by doing a different sort of work. Christ's work for us of obedience to the Father by loving him above all else and loving our neighbors is the evidence of true salvation for a Christian. Point number 5. Christ's Sabbath rest comes not through selfish idleness, but hearts that seek to sacrificially work to provide Christ's love and mercy to others. So, does the Sabbath day exist now at all, or did Jesus abolish it? Next week, we will look at the book of Hebrews and see that rather than abolish the Sabbath rest, Christ commanded us to enter our Sabbath rest through obedience to his word. We are to rest in Christ by continually striving to love God and love others every day. From Hebrews, it says, today is the day to obey Christ by working to enter our Sabbath rest. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, the idea to rest by working, by serving in Christ, Father, I know and can testify that through serving others, Father, the greatest rest can be found in you, Father, in your Son, Jesus, through your Spirit, Father, through your gospel, Father. Help us live out the Sabbath and every day the way that Jesus did, Father, through mercy and love and kindness to others. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.